Jesus, this is a privilege for me to be here. And without delay, let us open God's infallible, inerrant, inspired, and invincible word. The Gospel of Matthew, and I'm going to read chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. If you stand up, I'm going to read from the New King James so that you may know if there is any difference there from the New King James. Listen, and listen in slow motion. The Bible is to be read and to be listened in slow motion. Seeing it, feeling it, savoring it, thinking, praying, and experience the reality of the illumination of the Spirit. And as I'm reading, I want you to use your sanctified imagination, not fiction imagination, as we read the passage. And if you know the geography and the place, I hope that you can see Jesus walking. The parallel text is Luke 5, and the only difference between Luke 5, Luke has 11 verses, Matthew just 5, and the only difference is that Luke spent time describing the context of the calling. Matthew goes straight to the calling. That's the only difference. And then you can understand any difference in the passages. Listen to them. See it. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. All of them here had been reached by John the Baptist already, but they are not following Christ yet. For they were fishermen. Can you see Jesus walking and seeing? Context is Luke 5. Then he said to them, "Follow me. I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. By the way, all of them were fishing together. Luke chapter 5. In the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, he called them. I assume he said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And immediately, they left the boat and the father and followed him. Please be seated. I know I have 30 minutes, and I'll have a little bit more in the next hour. And I'm going to be very quick in what I'm going to expose to you this morning. But before I go in 7 points of this passage, I don't preach just 3 points unless the passage is 3 points. You cannot preach the Ten Commandments with 3 points. And those who use 3 points, they have some points, don't go for 15 points. But I'd like to make some observations here before we go. The greatest need of the church to do the work and the will of God the Father regarding to reaching out to those who are lost across the street and around the world. The greatest need is men and women, young men and young women, boys and girls, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the secret. The greatest need of my wife is a husband filled with the Holy Spirit. The great need of my children are a father filled with the Holy Spirit. The great need of my grandchildren, and I have eight, we have eight granddaughters, three grandsons, and two great grandsons. The greatest need of them is a grandfather and a grandmother filled with the Spirit. To start with, therefore, my challenge for you today is really for this great challenge when the Apostle Paul tells, be filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you why. And that's part of my introduction. We are impressed without any doubts of the life and ministry of Paul and Peter, and especially the Lord Jesus Christ. But we forget one thing that the Bible tells consistently, even before they started their public ministry. They're men filled with the Spirit. You keep your Bibles here. I'm going just to list to read four verses about Jesus. And if you want to do the work of Jesus like Jesus, you have to remember that. Philip. In your prayer, when you were there, you said, Lord, make us holy. Didn't you? If you don't remember, I remember because I listened to your prayer. You don't need to go there. When Paul was converted, and Ananias was there, put his hand upon him, and the Bible said he was filled with the Spirit. Jesus Christ told his church that before they do anything, they have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness. And they have to wait in Jerusalem till two things happened. One was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is unique, but immediately they were filled with the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is already done. What the Bible tells us to seek daily is to live a life filled with the Spirit, what we call a holy life, because a holy life is what? A life filled with the Spirit, a godly life. And by the way, God gave us the means for that. We call this the means of grace, exercise and practice the Bible commands by which we grow in that likeness and become people filled with the Spirit, meditation, prayer, worship, sharing the gospel, and invest in God's kingdom. Now listen to this. That's before Jesus began his public ministry. You know, the first thing was he's 30 years old, then he was baptized by John the Baptist. And listen to what the Bible says about that day of the baptism. Was the baptism with water and the baptism of the Spirit upon Jesus Christ. You know that. Listen. He baptized. And while he prayed, Jesus prayed, the heaven was opened. Heaven is not far away from us. It was very close. Heaven was open. It was not a sky. Close by, heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. Before he baptized his people with the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ was the one baptized by the third person of the Trinity. And you know what happened after that? He was moved to the desert to be tempted. And listen to what the Bible says in chapter 4, verse 1 of Luke. And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit to be tempted. In other words, you begin to see that the power of Jesus, of course he used the word, but the power to win temptations is in life is to know the word with the sword of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. Don't forget that in the temptation. And by the way, I'm screaming, I'm not mad at you. And listen there. After that, Jesus, after this temptation, listen, that's only in Luke. Listen how many times. 4:18, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and then he began to teach. The greatest need of the church are pastors, associate pastors, and leaders filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus returned to Nazareth. In these two chapters of Luke, listen, in chapter 4, he goes to his place, Galilee, Nazareth. And the first thing he opens the Bible. And finally, when he opens, he chose Isaiah. And he started with these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel. The greatest need is that, my friend. Would you like to get it? Be involved gladly and joyfully in the work of Christ. Seek the means of grace, because the moment it is a reality, the Holy Spirit fills us. And by the way, faith promise is not the problem. We can imagine something filled with the Spirit even by his or her contribution. That's my first observation. Now you understand a little bit when Jesus started. Don't forget those teaching in the Scripture. Without godliness, holiness, being filled with the Spirit through the means of grace, you cannot expect much from our lives and our ministry, much less love for and compassion for the lost, and get involved across the street and of the world in reaching out to the lost, discipling the new converts, train the new leaders, and plant churches. That's the way Christ did, that's the way Paul did. The second observation, and don't worry, I'm going through the seventh point. There is a revival, we continue the second worship service. But anyway, the second thing here that I would like to call attention is this, on Matthew chapter 4. This is not a call to apostleship. It's not a call to apostleship, it's a call to followership. To deny everything, take up their cross and follow Jesus. The call to apostleship came only in Matthew chapter 10. The calling here is for all of us. It's not just for these four. And the third observation that I like to keep in mind is this. You'll be impressed as you read the gospel that Jesus was already reaching out the multitudes, and Jesus ministered both to the church and to the multitudes that represents the lost. It's not a matter of either or, but both and. Now let us go to the passage. And I have, by the way, I'm going to do that highlighting, and very quickly, seven questions, and all of them are answering this just four verses. The first question is, as you read the passage or heard the passage, what was Jesus doing? When I ask my grandchildren, the first thing they say, oh, vovo, they call vovo, grandpa, The Bible says Jesus was walking by the sea. What kind of question is that? This is correct answer, but incomplete. Jesus would never walk anywhere just for the sake of walking. Jesus would never jog just for the sake of jogging. What the Bible is telling here, this walking by the sea, saving, discipling, recruiting people according to the will and the work of his Father. Wherever you are, my friend, be intentional. Pray every single day, wherever you are, that in some way or another, God use you to reach out people. Jesus reached out to people even cemeteries. Be intentional. Jesus was not simply walking by the Sea of Galilee. And if you read the passage of Luke 5, you're going to see there are more things there. You know the impact of my life. I don't know where you walk, place you go to. But wherever I go, my prayer is always that, Lord, give an opportunity to meet someone. Even in Northeast Brazil with my wife, after we read about that, learn that, I said, I will never go to the beach just to go to the beach. Of course I'm going to enjoy the beach, but as we go, my wife and I always pray, Lord, give us an opportunity to meet people and tell them about Jesus. If they are believers, that we can encourage them. And my friend, let me tell you, I have been in ministry for 50 years. I was ordained in Brazil in January 12, 1975. My first 3 to 4 years was in the Amazon jungle with my wife. Since that time, I have a prayer every single day. Lord, give an opportunity today to meet someone, to talk with someone, to take the initiative just to know someone, and to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the hotel, we have already done that here. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when I look back 50 years, now 51 years now, that I celebrate in January 12 of this year, I have never had 1 week in my life that the Lord had not put before me someone to talk and to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if there is a prayer that God answers immediately, that's what I want. Lord, help me to reach out to people. Can you imagine Jesus Christ 1 week without talking with anybody? Wherever you go. Now, the second question. Who did Jesus call? What kind of people Jesus called? Let me tell you, I have good news. He called people like you and me. He studied their upbringing. Look at their professions. Their lives report in the scriptures. There was nothing extraordinary in these fishermen or in the shepherds when Jesus was born and were the first, after the angels, the first to announce others about the birth of the Messiah. Nothing extraordinary. There was nothing extraordinary, Mary or Joseph. That little girl. All in the land of Israel. We are just sinners, the Bible says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, means anyone, anytime, anywhere who believes, may not perish but have everlasting life. Which means God uses all those that he saves, wherever they are. Nobody, once you are saved and empowered by the Spirit of God, none of us are, is that correct? Are dispensable. None of us. The Holy Spirit gifted each one of us in different ways. None of us are dispensable, but I have bad news for you, but you can be replaced. My prayer every single day is that, Lord, I care for your church. I want to see your church grow. I want to see people grow in the likeness of Christ and through the means of grace to get intimate with you. And have such a joy that joy in you would move them to be passionate and to love people and to know them. In the Gospel of Matthew, several times, that is three times, the Bible says, and we saw the multitude had compassion. It's not just an obligation. And this is my prayer every single day. You see, we have a prayer of confession. Did you remember? This is one of the prayers that the Bible says that God answers immediately. Immediately. There are several other prayers. And one of them asked the Lord to give an opportunity to you to meet someone, whatever they are, to talk with someone. Take the initiative. I could tell you stories of stories throughout my life of neighbors and etc. But let me leave it for a while. Now let me go for the third question. The third question is this. What were these people doing when Jesus called them? They were just exercising their regular profession. It amazes me when Jesus calls and saves us, it does not matter where you are. And what does it matter what you're doing when he saved us. But the moment he saved us for something. In such a way that from that point on, you're going to see and to think that whatever you are, whoever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever you have, the question is, how can be and use whatever I am, Lord, for the sake of your glory? Any profession you have, how can I use it for your glory, O Father? For the salvation of the lost, the edification of your people. As a medical doctor, whatever it is. Because everything becomes secondary. By the way, they were not lazy people. That's one thing when Jesus called them. And by the way, my friends, lazy people is oxymoron. Lazy Christian is oxymoron. How can we be lazy Christian without praying for the lost, people that you already know, pray for opportunities, pray how to approach them and how to share them, how to know them? Listen, let me give you a statistic. I'm not moved by a statistic. I'm moved by the joy in Jesus. Life full of the Spirit. Do not need a statistic to be motivated. Across the street and around the world. I was just reading the statistics of the United Nations of 2024. Listen to this. 9,900 babies are born every single day in USA. These are lost people. 3.6 million live birth in the USA in 2024. Listen to this. Babies born every day globally. About 380,000 new people lost. About 133 million Worldwide, per year, babies born in the world every year. And more than 63 million deaths per year. Oh, and put more. And God has a plan for each one of them. He determined their place, time of birth, journeys, all their migration of every single human being. And God, you'll never put a neighbor by your side without a purpose. Oh, I wish I could give you a lot of illustration. I don't have the time. Of neighbors. And when you begin to know them, you understand why God put you where you are. The mission field is always where you are. A mission field, by the way, the Bible does not use this phrase. It comes from mission strategy. Mission field is a place where there are sinners, lost people. This is a mission field where there are lost people. Heaven is not a mission field. There's no lost people in heaven. Only saved lost people. Mission field is the place there are lost people. And there are lost people everywhere. That's why Philip and his wife is in Germany. But you have people around here. Now come to the most important question of this passage. Because the focus is not the disciples. The focus is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the harvest. Who is calling these people? The Bible says, Jesus says, I will make you. This is the glorious sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't make ourselves fish of man. He makes us. He says, You didn't choose me. I chose you. And by the way, we are not really great servants, my friends. We have been called, saved, empowered, and sent by the great Savior and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Individually, but not individualistically. Because you're saved and called into a family. To do the work of the Lord, Creator of the universe, our Savior. Five. I'm looking at my watch. If you want to have more details, come to the second worship service. Five. Why did Jesus call them? And why did Jesus call us? Let me tell you some reasons why Jesus didn't call them. Some of the reasons. Jesus didn't call them because they were the best. Neither you, neither me. Jesus didn't call them because they're the holiest. No. In Luke 5, when Peter saw what Jesus did, he says, get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinner. They were not the better qualified. They were not called because they're good. The Bible says there is no good. They are holy. The Bible says all have sinned. Not because they're white or American or Brazilian. God shows no favoritism. Why did Jesus call them? And the Bible is very clear, my friend. Jesus called them because he has a sovereign plan, purpose, and work in which we are going to participate to glorify the Father by pointing to the Father those whom the Father already gave to the Son. That's John 17. God was in Christ reconciling the world with himself. The word means people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, family, with himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He says, as the Father sent me, I send you also. That's why, by the way, the greatest joy we have is in Christ and in his work. Whatever area of life you're involved with. 6. But 4. Remember, why? Because. What for? So that. I know that sometimes people use the word why in English for so that. For it. No. Why means because. What for? So that. Why? Because he has a plan. But what for did he call them? And what does it have to do with his plan? Listen to what he says. He said this, follow me, I will make. By the way, this is the central statement. I'll make, follow me. This also a calling, imperative, efficacious calling. Follow me, and I'll make you fish of men. This is an efficacious calling, an efficacious sending. So that we follow him. Follow is not to be behind Jesus. The word follow in Jesus, you find several times, even in this chapter of the gospel. There are the multitudes following him, and there are the disciples following him. The multitudes follow him for several reasons. Curiosity to be healed. But when Jesus says, follow me, he's calling us to be committed to his person, to the person of Christ. Follow me. And the second part is, so that you may know me, be with me, intimate with me, and so that you may make me known. It's the two words. You know him, it is in itself a great joy of our lives. And the second great joy is to make him known. You see, this lady here, my wife is Dutch. She was 19 when I married her, I was 24. And you cannot imagine that one of the greatest joy was to know her. But the first time when we began to date, and I began to tell everybody, to know the person that you love, you want to tell everybody about that person. And by the way, I love the expression, fishes of men. Not just because they're fishers, fishermen. But you know why? Every time they talk about fishing in the Bible, in the New Testament, they're not talking about using a hook, is that correct? With a bait. No. Every time fishing has to do with nets. Net, you throw. Whatever comes is fish. Bait. You can even choose. There is only one time that Jesus asked Peter to throw a hook into the Sea of Galilee was to get a fish that has a coin to pay the tax. That's the only time. All the times is a net. Fishes of men. I said, Lord, thank you that you didn't call us to be hunters of men. Because hunters are going to choose our game. And a lot of people do that. The fishes of men. And by the way, did you see that? The only thing I have to do is get my net and throw. I don't fish nobody. Jesus put the fish. He said, throw the net for a catch. That's there, Luke 5. Throw the net for a catch. They said, we spent all the night. He said, throw the net for a catch. The only thing we have to do is that. And they threw the net, and the fish came. You know what's the problem in our lives? We don't throw the net. It's very simple, my friend. I'm not responsible to convert anybody. Responsible to throw the net, to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Throw the net in the power of the Holy Spirit and see that the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, and the Lord added every day those who have been saved. And by the way, when you throw the net, you don't choose the fish. Whatever comes in the net is the fish. black, whites, American, Mexican, efficaciously called, efficaciously sent. And if you tell me that you're a follower of Jesus, but you're not fishing for Jesus, there is a contradiction of terms. It's oxymoronic. One of the greatest joy of our lives is to see people being saved, discipled, trained for leadership of the church, and church being established. And finally, listen, how, this is my seventh question, how did the disciples respond? I'm going 3 minutes both times. How did the disciples respond both times? Listen to this. The Bible says, they immediately. In other words, immediately means, by the way, brothers and sisters, you are very bad in the immediate. You read the Bible, you see what the Bible is telling you, but immediately don't go. We don't do it. So we know what to do, but we don't do it. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to move your will to do it immediately for His glory and your joy. Immediately. In other words, let me give you right now. Study it right now. How? Do like Jesus says. Lord, I saved them in John 17, but I pray also for those who are going to be saved through their word. Begin to pray for the lost. People in your family, friends, children. Begin to pray for them and ask the Lord for an opportunity and a way to do it. But the point here is this. The moment Christ, they immediately means, that does not mean that they never went back to their boats anymore. No, that's not the point. The point is here that everything becomes secondary. That's the point. Because they continue to use their boat. But from that point on, my boat is for God's glory. My house for God's glory. My profession, I'm going to do my best as a medical doctor, as a surgeon. Why? I want to do my best because I serve the Lord. And I want to know the Lord that I served as a doctor. And when it's not because I want to be recognized as the best. I want to be the best in this area for the sake of my Savior. It's not just people can give me more money and pay more. And when they say, why are you so good? Why do you do that? Because my boss is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know Him because He's the one I work for. Because He saved me. And by the way, when I see this immediately, there's one thing that impresses me. Is the power of Christ's words. And by the way, we don't have that power, but the moment you're inviting people and telling people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, remember that's not your words that makes the difference. That's the word that you are using, that Christ through the Holy Spirit do it. Does it. Does it. And I remember I finished, okay? 5 minutes more. I remember John Piper. I have been with John Piper in one conference once. And one day I heard him say, when someone is saved, we don't save anyone. We are like, what's it, parteira? We are like midwives, my friend. The baby's to be born. You don't make this baby. You don't make this baby to be born. You are just the midwife helping the baby to be born. That's the way we talk with people. Because you begin to see that God is using you, but the Holy Spirit is the one who is doing His work. What should you do now? Start throwing the net. But before that, came time to be holy. And I'm going to say one thing that I have said and Rick mentioned to me, and this is one of the points here. The one who predestined and saved is the same one who also empowers each one of us with His Spirit and send us everywhere. Across the street and around the world, to everyone, all the time. Therefore, Followers of Jesus are called to be fishers of men across the street and around the world. You may say, Dr. Medeiros, I'm not like you. We are extroverted. I'm not extroverted. But I say, you know what? The first thing that Jesus told the disciple, he has to what? To deny himself. I don't care what you are, extroverted or introverted. Jesus said, deny yourself. Now find a way. Find a way. With the Spirit. Followers of Jesus, faces of men, efficaciously and efficaciously and effectively called, efficaciously and effectively sent across the street and around the world. If you are not fishing, you are not following. May God bless us.